2009, the elders have asked me to present on the Sunday morning services the Sermon on the Mount. So they would like to introduce that, the greatest sermon ever preached. I like to do so by one of my favorite illustrations. The year was 1961, and Dale Wasserman, an American playwright, was in Spain, and he was working on a great project, a project that was bigger than he even imagined. He was working on the life of Don Quixote, based on the life of Cervantes, and people began to hear what he was doing, and the anticipation began to build. He brought the play to Broadway in 1965, and until Cats, it was the longest-running play in the history of Broadway. Every night, every seat was filled at 1,197 performances in a row. The critics wrote about it. They couldn't understand it. You know, it's just a simple little play. What was its magnetism? What was its power? They said, was it the costumes? They were colorful. Was it the music? It was beautiful and moving. To dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave dare not go. To love, pure and chaste from afar, to right the unrightable wrong. This is my quest, the old man would sing, to follow that star, no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to fight for the right without question or pause, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest. And the world would be better for this. One man scorned, covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars. But it wasn't the music, as beautiful and as moving as it is, if you have heard it. They said, what's its power? They said, well, it must be in its idealism. You see, 1965, we're in the midst of the Vietnam War, or the Vietnam conflict, and people were discouraged. I know across this nation today, there's a lot of discouragement. They're involved in a war. Another war is heating up. There's some potential other things going on that we're not even hearing about that much right now. And, you know, people are discouraged. Economic times are tough. Well, it was even worse in 1965. Rebellious generation. A lot of things are going on. And this play had an idealism that was its magnetism. You see, it was a play about an old half-mad man who saw things not as they are, but as they perhaps could be. And he was one who would address that. He would see an old broken down inn and he would see a beautiful castle. Himself a half broken down, half mad man, but he saw himself as strong and vigorous and a knight in shining armor 200 years after there had been no knights. And he saw this lady of loose morals, Aldonza. She was one who would sell herself to men for money. But he didn't see that in her life. He saw Dulcinea, the bright and shining one. And he would sing that song to her, and she would get mad, and she didn't want to hear it. But he would sing about Dulcinea, the bright and shining one. You see, it was the idealism. And when I open up this book, it only takes a few verses until I see the idealist God. He is a realist. But with God, the realism can be the ideal. He has a dream for your life. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, he said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And God gave to us in some way a part of himself. He's spirit, and he gave us a spirit. It has come from the eternal one. And it'll never die. You have that. You possess that. That's a magnificent gift in and of itself. He's given that to you. I read in Genesis 12 about Abraham. In Genesis 17 and verse 5, he takes Abram and he says, your name's not any longer going to be called Abram, which means elevation. Your name's going to be called Abraham, which means the father of the faithful. And he'll become such. He takes Jacob and he speaks to him in Genesis 35 and 10. He says, your name is Jacob, but no longer shall your name be called Jacob. Your name shall be called Israel. And he, capital H-E, God, called him Israel. Israel. prince with God. And he said, I see in you nations and a company of nations, and kings will come forth from you. God could see it. He said, I am the Almighty. God could see it. Could Jacob see it? God had a dream for his life. He has a dream for your life. And so God said, well, if they can't see it, then I'm going to send my son into this world. I'm going to let him become a man. I'm going to let them see my heart through him. I'm going to let them see my mind through his words. I'm going to let them see my dream lived out in his life. And I believe that has been captured in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, like in no other place in all of the earth, all of literature. Gathered there by a pear-shaped body of water known as the Sea of Galilee, 8 miles wide, 14 miles long at its extremities, Jesus verbalized, taught what God's dream is for your life. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people, and his fame spread throughout all of Syria. So they brought unto him all sick people, those who were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those who were possessed with devils, and those who had the palsy, and those who were lunatic, and he healed them. And a great multitude of people followed him from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They'll be called the children of God. Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you. When men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy the law of the prophets, but to fulfill. Verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, the same shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother hath aught against you, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly whilst you're out in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge and the judge deliver you to the officer and you be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, shall by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard that hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it's profitable thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it's profitable thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever marrieth her that is divorced doth commit adultery. Again, you have heard it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is footstool, neither swear thou by thine own great city of Jerusalem. It's the city of the great king. Neither shalt you swear by your own head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. Whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. Whosoever shall smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If any man sue thee at the law to take away your coat, give him your cloak also. Whosoever shall compel you to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him who asketh of you, and from him would borrow from you, turn thou not away. You have heard that it hath been said, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which use you. And do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sendeth his rain on the just and on the unjust. If you love only those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. When you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, and may have the glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when you do your alms, do not let your right hand know what your left hand doeth, that your alms may be in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets to be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. Thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetitions like the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Therefore, after this manner, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, so will your heavenly Father forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Be ye not therefore like unto them. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you may appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth or rust corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body should be full of light. If your eye be evil, your whole body should be full of darkness. If the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness. No man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air. They sow not, neither they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, could add one cubit unto his stature? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They sow not, and they spin not. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knoweth you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow. The morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day of the evil thereof. Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why behold thou the mote that's in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before the swine, unless they trample them under their feet, and they turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone who asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, if his son asked for bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give to those who ask him? Therefore, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye at the straight gate. Wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit shall be hewn down and cast into the fire. By their fruits you shall know them. Not every one who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it stood because it was built upon a rock. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. You see, we forget they're no different than we are. Just as torn by life's complexities, just as torn by their own sin and guilt. They've not lived up to what they know they should have. They've not become what they know they should have become. But here is this teacher. And he's verbalizing, he's teaching about a way of life. And he's teaching them as if he believes it can be. Wait a minute. I mean, you think I can turn the other cheek when somebody smacks me around? You think I can be sued at the law and then, hey, voluntarily take my cloak as well? You think a man can make me serve him for a mile and I'll gladly, from my heart, carry his bags a second mile? Teacher, you expect that kind of living out of the likes of us? Put yourself there. All this year, put yourself at his feet and see if you don't believe that he is teaching, verbalizing, and will model God's dream for the man that he's created. Try to see the Creator, and you'll know why God gave a spirit to his creatures. Try to see the Master, and you'll know what God intended for mankind. You'll see his dream when you come to know his Son. They were astonished. We are too. Yes, the teacher expects that kind of living out of the likes of us. You see, Jesus knew that true happiness, and that's how he begins a sermon, only happens to people by misdirection. It only happens when we empty ourselves of trying to be happy and make ourselves happy, and we find it when we try to please and glorify God and fulfill his purpose for our being. It's the only way to find happiness. You say, what's wrong with the world? This is exactly what's wrong with the world. We're trying to please ourselves, promote ourselves, push ourselves forward. And he called upon them to empty themselves and serve their Father. The Lord knew that a man's reach must exceed his grasp, or what's a heaven for? He knew that a dream that you can place into your pockets is no longer a dream. He knew that those people he was talking to, they had lived up all their dreams by age 40. You could have buried them then. Many of them live on to age 80 or 90 and some to 100, but their dreams died a long time ago. And he was igniting within them God's dream for their life. I have a question for you. It'll be the question for the year. Are you living God's dream for your life? And if you're not, don't you want to? I'll take you back to that play for just a moment. If perhaps in your mind you could be gathered there in that theater on Broadway and be among the group at the very end of the play. The lights are low now on the stage. The old man is lying there about to die. All of his dreams are shattered. They call for Aldonza. She hadn't seen him in a long time. She comes and they say, we know that you might be able to rally him a bit. And she came and she knelt down beside his very weak body. And she said, I'm Aldonza. And she said, don't you remember me? And he didn't. He's very sick and very weak. And she said, oh, please remember. He said, you used to sing to me. In one of your songs, you would call me Dulcinea, bright and shining one. Call me Dulcinea again, please. Well, he gathers himself a bit. He begins to remember some things. And he remembers some of the words from his song. And to dream the impossible dream, to fight the unbeatable foe, to run where the brave dare not go. And he sings again. All for just a little while, but then he can't finish. And he slumps to his death. And she cries. They come for her and they say, Aldonza, let's go. And she pulls away from them. And she looks at them and she says, my name is Dulcinea. He had given her a dream of maybe not what she was, but what she might yet become. And there's not a person alive cannot convince me that Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is not God's dream for our life. He knew we would not live it perfectly. But he also knew the power would be in the direction that he gave to our life. In Hebrews chapter 11, there were those pilgrims, strangers to this land. They were passing through this land. And the Bible says that they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having embraced them. They were persuaded of them. They embraced them. And they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims down here. Are you a stranger and a pilgrim down here? Will you embrace his dream for your life? If you will, listen. Your heart will lie peaceful and calm when they lay you to your rest. And the world will be better for this. One man scorned and covered with scars still strove with his last ounce of courage to reach the unreachable stars. Roger's going to sing. Maybe there's one who would submit yourself to being buried with Christ while we stand. Brother Roger.